Welcome back to Words of the Wise. I'm Lexi Maynor, and today's episode is extra special because I get to sit down with my godmother, Kathy Miller. Kathy has a way of making every room brighter. She's 74 years young, full of spunk, faith, and wisdom, and she's lived a life marked by love, adventure, and laughter. We talk about everything, from growing up in a big family, to falling in love with her husband, Steve, to raising four incredible sons and becoming Grammy to her grandkids. Kathy's outlook on life is inspiring. She reminds us to smile when we walk into a room, to live with gratitude, and to always keep our faith at the center of it all. This conversation is real, joyful, and full of nuggets of wisdom that I know you'll love. So let's dive in.
Hi, I'm Kathy Miller. I'm 70 years old, just had a birthday, loving life. Life is different, but I think that things are really moving forward.
Yeah, and also Kathy is my godmother. Mm-hmm. And what did I used to call you when I was younger?
The fairy godmother.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Linda would tell me fairy godmother. But, you know, I totally remember like it was yesterday when Billy and I, he's your godfather, mm-hmm. and we were in church. And when they said the religious stuff, will you say, I will? Mm-hmm. I shouted it out and everybody laughed. I will! And there was Billy on the other end of things.
But he was young, too.
Yeah, I totally remember that. It was such a blessing to be asked to be your godmother.
Oh, well, you've been the best godmother.
Well, the sad part is you're not Catholic, and that's what I was a godmother for.
It's all right. Yeah, I still go to Mass with my grandparents sometimes. But right. Okay, so let's start with your childhood. Where did you grow up?
South Bend, Indiana. I was the third of seven kids. Mom and Dad met in World War II. Mom was a secret Dakota, which my father never knew. And Dad was a bugler in World War II in the Army. And anyway, that's how it all began.
Wow. And so, third of seven, mm-hmm. what was the dynamic like growing up in a big family?
Absolutely. No, Mom and Dad never told us we should love each other, but we did. And I still, to this day, we are best friends, brothers and sisters. We will always be there for one another. And I don't know, because Mom never sat down and said, you have to love your brothers and sisters. Mom was from Scotland. Dad was totally in love with her, and he was brilliant. He was the valedictorian in high school and then went on to Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. And anyway, that's how it all began.
Yeah. I feel like in your childhood age, most of the people in your generation weren't raised to love, like, their family. Like, you know
well,
what I mean?
Because
like,
it was a hard thing.
About? Yeah.
Nobody talked about, I mean, you couldn't complain. I knew that. And if we were hurt, we didn't want to tell Mom and Dad because it would cost them money. So we recognized the value of the dollar. Not that Mom and Dad said anything about it because they were so loving. Mm-hmm. It just was.
Yeah, yeah. I love that. And what was the typical day in your childhood like?
Well, it just, I don't want to say chaos because it really wasn't chaotic, but we were kind of, Mom and Dad never said we had to do these things. They never sat us down and asked what kind of homework we have, even though Dad was a valedictorian, Mom was brilliant, mm-hmm. but they never put that kind of pressure on us. It might have been good for me. Because I didn't like homework until I got to college. And then I proved that I kind of was okay smart.
Yeah. No, you definitely were, I bet. That's hilarious, though. So you were more of a tomboy then, would you say?
Well, yeah. I know it's not even more of. I was different, but I didn't know I was different. My older brother is 2 years older than my sister, Helen, and then myself. And my brother, I remember he threw a wiffle ball. We were in this back alley, threw a wiffle ball, and I just killed it. And I thought, I like this. And so what my gift is athleticism. And I just couldn't get enough of basketball, badminton, baseball, any of those hand-eye coordinating things. Just couldn't get enough of it. But girls weren't supposed to be that way. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't know that, but I felt that in end of seventh grade. I really liked this guy, and he really liked me. And I remember the popular kid said, you can't like her because she's a tomboy. And that's a true story. And I just couldn't believe it. So in eighth grade, I stopped all my buddies that all came along in my neighborhood. I was always like the captain. And Kathy couldn't come out to play. And if I did anything, I played with my left hand to look like a girl. And that's a true story, because they made, and I didn't know the word gay, and it wouldn't have been bad if I would have said, if I would have been gay, but they called it a tomboy, and I hated it because they, all of a sudden I lost this guy I liked.
Yeah.
Because they said I was a tomboy, and I didn't know what they were saying.
Yeah.
So, like, but there's a story after that. I quit playing sports, or with my buddies.
Yeah.
And when I moved over my sophomore year to a different high school, I had guys, and I still acted that way until they came to my basketball court, and I knew they liked me, so I could kind of start shooting hoop.
You can actually show them how
and
good
they
you
really
were.
I really liked it because they knew I liked guys.
Yeah.
So that's the story on that.
That's crazy. It just
it
shows how
me.
Different.
Oh, time. Had I been so born, like, I mean, later, I'm happy I was born when I was, but that taught me that you never, ever should despair somebody because they're different.
No, yeah. Well, and like that was God-given talent
it was
for
God-given.
You to be as God-given. Athletic as you were.
Back
and then,
Yeah. Nobody. I had no girlfriends who were that way ever until I went to college. And I had a best friend that I couldn't believe it. She had a baseball mitt too. And I said, and you know, she's just my best friend.
Yeah. That's crazy. And then you stayed athletic with your biking. And
always. Because it's who I am. And Steve, when he knew me, he knew I had an entourage of guys that I worked out with because girls didn't do it. And he was never jealous of that. And I was able to be who I really was and really am. And I still am.
Yeah. I love it. That's crazy. That's
it is. But it was very crushed me.
Representative of the time, though.
It was. And I remember going to my mother and saying, Mother, why did you let me be like this? Why did you let me be a tomboy? And she said, Katie, there is nothing wrong with what you are. You're the best. But it crushed me. And I asked Mom, because
you really liked the guy too.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't even like.
Yeah, I was like, but let me tell you, it worked out.
Yeah, everything always
yeah,
works
it worked
out.
Out.
So, do you have a favorite childhood memory?
Yeah, but it's kind of a sad one, but a favorite. My brother, who I did newspapers with and stuff in seventh grade, he kept stopping and saying, "I have to get drink water. I have to get drink water." And I was like, "Bruce, what is wrong with you?" That night, he went into a coma because he was diabetic. He was a type 1. And nobody knew it, and he almost died. An intern figured it out. That was my best memory because I could do his newspaper, and I remember he came home, and it was the day before Halloween, and all of us kids said, we aren't going trick-or-treating because we're going to not eat sugar because you can't eat sugar. That was a super memory, and I don't know what it is, but we just love each other, and we were a team.
Yeah.
Mom and Dad never talked about being a team or anything. We just were.
Naturally were.
Yeah. We had great parents. We never wanted to disappoint them.
Oh, I love it. And that does lead into the next question. What was the greatest thing your parents taught you? Was it to be a team or?
No. To be a good person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that they taught us that, but we just knew they were the greatest parents. We just knew we were blessed. We went to church every Sunday, no matter what, even if we were on vacation. Mm-hmm. They didn't preach God, but yet it was. And they didn't have us say our prayers or anything. You know, I don't know. I just think the gift of family and the gift of lead with love, don't hurt anybody. That was just kind of the biggest gift. We just were blessed with the greatest parents.
Oh, I love it. And you went to Ball State, right?
Yeah.
For college. What made you go to college there?
Oh, I can tell you exactly, because I wasn't going to college. I said, Mom, I'm done with school. I don't like studying. Helen went off to Ball State. And I was working for Irwin Rubin, and that guy, he was the owner of this dry cleaner, and I was the ticket lady. And I went and visited Helen, and I thought, what am I doing? And so I said, Mom, you know, I really want to go to college, mom and dad. And they said, okay. And that was three of us in college. My brother at Fair State, Helen at Ball State. I don't know how they just, you know, because we weren't filthy rich by any means. Anyway, so I went to Ball State and I went in on probation. I went in on probation because what I liked, I did well in. What I didn't like biology, science, I hated it. I got D's, and I really didn't want D's. Mom and Dad knew I was smart, but I just got D's.
You were good in what you were good at.
Yeah, but I mean, I knew I wasn't going to college. So bottom line is, I did go to college, got in on probation, and Helen was wonderful there in the... Anyway, it was super. And ended up getting a 3.0 first semester. I learned how to underline in your books, and I learned how to study.
Yeah. Okay. And what was your favorite part about college?
My favorite part was just growing into who I was going to become. I had a fabulous roommates. It was kind of fun to see that I could do well and study. And then meeting Steve was really fun. Mm-hmm. And I had other guys I was dating. It was just kind of fun.
Yeah, college is fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. And so what was your major?
It was L.A. because I said, okay, Daddy, I'm going to college. I'm going to major in P.E. He said, no daughter's going to major in P.E. You know how to do that. You're too good at that. And you need to take something else. And it's a true story. Daddy had no clue I could have been a really good coach. And
you
so I had to major. I thought, okay, let's do L.Ed. Like my sister, a teacher. Mm-hmm. And that was my major.
Yeah. Well, teacher coach is similar.
But had it really been P.E. and a coach, I mean, I think.
Yeah, you would have loved
things.
It.
Yeah, I would have loved it because I just really like people. I like showing them how to do things.
Mm-hmm. You're an encourager, too.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Were you involved in anything on campus?
My sister and I, and this is really odd, on Easter's, Helen started it. We marched for the moratorium against the war. We did. Helen, help me. She said, no, this is terrible. Vietnam's terrible. So we marched. And then we went on Easter breaks, and we went to West Virginia on Easter, the whole break, and we helped the poor. And that was really a blessing, a neat thing, because we had great family mm-hmm. life and fun back home. But Helen started. It was really cool, and I followed right in her footsteps.
Yeah.
Even though they always said I led in the family, if Kathy said it, because Helen had never got her license for a car when I was hitchhiking. Dad found out about it in college, and he got me a car, and Helen didn't get her license till after she graduated from college.
Why?
Because she couldn't, heck, you wouldn't give her a car. Good God. She had like 3 feet. She was the cook and all that stuff. And she was gorgeous.
Yeah.
But she was definitely not brave as far as that side of things. And I just did it all my life.
Yeah.
Climbed up ladders for Dad, washed windows way high.
Yeah, you weren't afraid.
If Kathy says, you know, that was cool.
Yeah. I love how close you and your sister are, though.
Oh, gosh. We all are, but Helen being so close to me, we danced. Oh, my God. Did we have fun in high school? And I would ask her questions. Hey, should I not do this with a guy? And she really helped me out. No, don't do that, Kath. And so it helped me. But I am close to all of my sisters. We always tried to help them through. And, you know, there are no favorites, like my mother would say. Mom and Dad, I just knew none of us were favorites, but there was a kindred spirit, and that was with my mom and me. It wasn't a favorite, but it was a kindred spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Were you like her?
I think all of us have traits like Mother. She was the sweetest, neatest, brightest. She was just a touch of heaven.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love
she
that.
She was. Broke my heart.
Yeah.
When she died, but. Mm-hmm. She was 88, and I had her 88th birthday. Had her come help me at the gift shop at the hospital where uh-huh. your grandma works.
Uh-huh.
And then I took her home, and she died 5 days later out of the clear blue. But she was tired, and I didn't recognize it.
That's not your fault, though.
No, but I mean, you know, she's with Dad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm glad you had that time with her, though.
Oh, it was the best. I always had her in Marco. I always took her everywhere. I always wanted to be around her. When my birthday came around, I said, even to the kids and Steve, I'm going to Mom's. I want to be with Mom on my birthday. And every Mother's Day, I went to be with my mom. I didn't do the bike things that the other buddies, there were bike things on over Mother's Day, and I just wanted to be with Mom.
Aww.
Yeah. It was always that.
It's good. Value time is everything.
Yeah,
really.
It was everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What would you say back to college?
Yeah.
What do you think is the biggest difference between college then and college now?
Oh, gosh. Easy. Easy. I was born too early. Oh, my God. The freedom of the women to be women and to have careers. And they would say we're going to college for our MRS.
Yes.
Okay. And there's a big difference now. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the MRS. And girls today, including you, you have a voice and you have a choice and you are on the level plane of men. And back then, I mean, just look, I was tomboy. Okay.
Yeah.
I hate that word now.
Yeah.
But I just was an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And today, they're athletes. God, Caitlin Clark, I love watching her. I love watching the women. And she has defined athleticism, and mm-hmm. that's all it is.
Yeah.
So there's a huge difference in that area, in a lot of areas,
uh-huh.
because women are equal to men.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we just happen to be the people that carry the babies.
Yeah.
But we are equal to men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I read a book recently about like the biblical backing of how in God's eyes we are equal too. We're just created for different purposes.
Right.
That's why the narrative of, I don't know when, at what point that got.
I think men started that. Yeah. That's how that got as far as women need to stay home
mm-hmm.
and men need to go to work. Mm-hmm. But women can do, they can do both if the men, just like my sons, pick up and they become, you know, they work, but they come home and they collectively work at doing the dishes and mm-hmm. things like that. Oh, let me tell you, that wasn't in my marriage, but I followed my mom.
Yeah.
And, I mean,
which
mom
again
has
was
seven
the
kids.
Time too.
Yeah.
Like,
and I loved it.
Yeah.
And your grandma loved it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were the homemakers. And I think, honestly, though, there's no difference between women now because they still are the homemakers genetically, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're nurturing. Like,
yes.
Women are more nurturing.
That's absolutely.
Yeah.
Men are different, and when men get mad, they get mad for half an hour. When women get mad at other women,
they carry it.
Forget it. That's why I hang with men. I mean, I've always enjoyed men because we can tease, and if they get mad, I mean, I'm telling you, they're over it in an hour.
Yeah. Or they'll hit each other.
Yeah,
and then
they'll fight.
But then it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
Women are different.
Hold grudges.
And it took me a long time to... I'm real picky about my best women friends
mm-hmm.
because I still see that, and I have no time for that.
Yeah.
But when I love you, I don't not love you. I just stay with you.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But it is so interesting hearing about your experience growing up as mm-hmm. a woman versus now. Because mm-hmm. I feel like... I mean, we know that what it used to be like, but... I don't know. I feel like I take it for granted being able to just, you can do, like be who you want to be. And back then, that wasn't the case.
No, my gosh. I mean, just like my father saying, I cannot major in PE.
Yeah.
And he was one of my biggest, he and mom were my biggest fans
uh-huh.
and encouraged that
yeah.
and followed me in softball all the way to the state, the regionals, the nationals, followed all of that. But yet he still had that philosophy or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Societal pressure
yeah.
or something.
Yeah.
So then what year did you graduate from college?
73, because I got married.
Okay. So we're going to get into marriage, but first talk a little bit about, we're going to talk about your job. So what was your first job after you graduated? Were you being funny? Were you a teacher for a little bit or you never worked?
No. Before I got married, I interviewed and Helen was at the inner city in South Bend teaching. I interviewed, they came and they said, oh, we want to hire you. Steve heard about that and in December asked me to marry him. And then he said, I love Ball Hospital, I want to stay here. And so I, there were no jobs in LA because it was just an influx of teachers coming out of there. I had a teaching job in South Bend, but it was like, dude, what are you going to do, Kathy?
Yeah.
So I ended up working for Border, Songer, Pell, and Gray, and they were all physician specialists. And I learned how to do insurance for that year and EKGs.
Oh.
Yeah.
So how long did you work for then?
Until I was 8 months pregnant.
Okay.
And I was pregnant. I mean, I had Josh 2 years after our marriage. I also did, this is a funny one. I did grad stuff, and I went back and did a major or a minor in PE.
Oh, you did?
Good. Just in case, if you know, I was able to teach, that I'd have the minor in PE.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So you did end up getting
Yep.
All right. Well, let's talk about Steve. I know I've heard the story, but since we're creating a different podcast, how did you two meet?
Oh, boy. Everybody laughs so hard at this one. Back in the time that I met Steve, it was okay, believe it or not. Well, I thought it was okay because a few of my friends did it, to hitchhike. And you were only hitchhiking within the community. Mm-hmm. So I had my best friend, Layla Flanagan, her nickname was Fritter by Steve. We were out on Riverside by the Sigep House, mm-hmm. and we hitchhiked, and Steve picked us up, and I was going to a professor friend that taught history, and I was going to go visit him with Fritter. And so Steve picked us up in what I thought was an electric car, but it was a Porsche, but what I know. And he had a suit on. And I thought, you know, I didn't think anything of it. And it's like a bench seat. And he took us and dropped us off. And 3 weeks later, he called and he remembered my name, my maiden name, Burkhart. For some reason, there was some connection. He found my phone number at the dorm and called and said, do you want to come over for a steak dinner at my 400 apartments? And I thought, oh, darn food, steak dinner. Mind you, I never hitchhiked. That was the first time I hitchhiked.
That is hilarious.
Okay, and I'm real conservative. It doesn't sound like it, but I am. But I went over. He was so kind, asked all about my family, but I knew that he would just be my friend. He liked me, but I was just young little girl dating regular college guys, and he wasn't 6 feet tall. He was probably 5'8" and a half when I met him. He was nice, but you know, he was my friend till I fell in love with him. It just, you know, that's how it all kind of happened.
Yeah, so how was that first date then?
Oh, he was great. Oh, he was so good. And, you know, he's older. He's like 8 and a half years older. He made the best steak dinner and these potatoes and stuff. And I think we threw the softball around outside of his 400 apartments, which are still there. And he was just kind and was so interested in my family. And, you know, I just kissed him. He was a good kisser, and that was it.
Yeah. And then you just liked him after that?
No, I didn't like him as a boyfriend, but I liked him as a friend. Because we could come over and he had a keg of beer in his refrigerator.
Yeah.
And he had a lot of that cheese and stuff. And I could bring 10 girls over. We were hungry. And we could walk from the dorm to his condo.
Oh.
Yeah.
So then he would just take care of you, kind of.
Well,
cheese,
he had
the
greatest sound system, and I had headsets. And he would even take me out. If I had a date, he'd say, can I take you out after? I said, yeah, but my dorm closes at midnight, so you better hurry up. And he was just kind. I mean, I thought he was a poor sucker, but I was wrong.
Yeah.
He was dating women, and I was the girl.
Oh, but he just liked you, so he kept coming.
Yeah, he liked me, but he was dating women.
So how did you end up then falling for him?
Okay, I can easily tell you that.
Yeah.
My best friend, Layla, and I, we went over to his apartment on Easter, and I had an Easter basket, because, you know, you're friends.
Yeah.
So I knocked on the door, and this girl answered. And okay, this girl answers, and she turned out to be a nurse. I didn't know that, but then I realized he was dating people that were women, and
yeah.
I was this girl. And then when I left, I remember telling Layla, oh God, I think I like him.
Yeah, you're jealous.
And that was my sophomore year.
Oh, okay.
And that's a true story. I love intelligence, and that attracts me first and foremost. My father and mom are so bright. And even in first grade, the brightest kid, he wasn't a nerd, but I always liked him because he was so smart. I tried
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And did you just tell him then that you...
Oh, heck no. I still dated other guys. I never wanted a lavalier. I never wanted an attachment. Got about 4 months later, I died because we were at this different outdoor show and he gave me this little box that looked like a ring. It was a ring. I still have it. It's opals. It's the cutest ring and it has like 8 opals around it. He says, no, this is just because I really like you.
Is it here?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we'll have to see it after this. Yeah. Opals is my birthstone.
Oh! Oh, and I have the best opals now, the necklace and everything with diamonds around it. But he cried when I pulled it out before he died. And I said, I want to wear this because I saved things.
Yeah. Oh, that's so sweet. I bet that was terrifying, though. Like,
I died. I'm thinking, oh, my God. Yeah, I don't want that. No.
So then when did you two start going, like, steady then, like, before you got married?
Well, when I liked him, you call it steady, but I could still date some people, and he probably was dating women.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like that. And then when I went home, he dated my sister's friend, and I was furious and broke up with him. My sister's roommate.
Yeah.
I call it cheating, even though.
Yeah, but that's crossing the line.
It was crossing the line.
Yeah.
And I broke up with him, and I have a clock that he gave me to get me back, and on I got it, and it says, "Oh, love, what hours were thine and mine." Well, that broke me, so yeah. I went back to him.
Okay, and then how did he propose then?
Oh, that was in the December. Actually, Helen got proposed after I did, but it was both in December, and he knew I liked this guy, Jim Burns, and I was dating him, and I knew Jim was going to ask me to marry him. But anyway, Steve asked me to marry him, and Layla and I were going to go off and teach because she also had it. And I weighed that. It didn't take too long to know that I couldn't be without Steve. And I said, yeah. And so we were engaged in December. I graduated in June and got married August 4th. Helen got engaged. Mom said she should have the first wedding, and she got married in June. I got married in August at the country club, same kind of dresses. Cost Dad a lot.
Oh, my gosh. What a big summer for your family.
Yeah, because Helen and I said, let's do a double. Mom said, nope, you're having your own.
That's probably good.
Well, I didn't know that.
At the time, it's fun. And you were best friends.
Yeah.
Like sisters, best friends.
Yeah.
So what dating advice would you give to single ladies?
Easily. But never give yourself away, because what you're giving is so important. And honestly, as much fun as I am and always was, and I was a great kisser, I always saved myself because I thought what it was going to be. And I had a lot of guys I dated.
Yeah.
But I just saved myself for my husband.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a true story.
Mm-hmm. And like what other qualities in a man would you say?
Oh, that's
because now that, like, after being married for so long, then
50
like
years,
was it?
It was 50. We made the 50th.
Okay, so now what would it be then this August 4th?
2 years later, 52.
So 52.
Yeah.
What now, having been being married that long, what would you say are traits that you should look for when you're looking for a partner?
I didn't like the guys who were so much in love with me. They were like puppy dogs. I hate to say this, but it's the truth. I liked a little bit of spice. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you pay for spice in your marriage because, you know, you never know. Because they love, I wanted intelligence number one. I remember going back home and saying, Mom, I don't know about these ball state guys. I really need intelligence. They're really cute, but I think I'm looking for a doctor. I don't know why I'm saying that, but I never believed he was a doctor. That's a true story.
Really?
I did not. I promise you. And here he was.
Why didn't you believe he was a doctor?
Well, because he's 8.5 years older and he came in this suit and you know, what did I know about doctors?
That's true.
It's the intelligence, like my father. There's something about intelligence that I was so attracted to. But the advice is, it's hard for me to give advice because I've seen some really, really sweet guys that just really, really love me, and they would have been great. Great husbands, but I need a little spice.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to, so I'm not good at giving advice.
Oh, stop. You probably, You got your spice, though.
I got my spice, and I loved it, and he allowed me to be me.
Mm-hmm. So I guess that's what you should look for. Yeah. Someone who allows
Somebody you. Allows you. Lexi, whatever you do and what you love, if you ever find somebody who says they're jealous because you're doing it with men, even though it's a different thing, whether it's working out or your job that you have with men, you better walk away.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you the truth. Anybody mm-hmm. that gets jealous of you, you it's need not. To walk away.
Not a good partner.
No, they gotta be your. They gotta be pushing you to be mm-hmm. your best.
Yeah, your cheerleader.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, I know you said you don't like giving advice, but what would you say is the key to a long marriage?
Oh, a long, my happy God. Marriage? I can tell you exactly, and so could probably your mother. Your grandma. It's patience and knowing that human beings. Are not perfect, and they never will be, and we all make mistakes, and sometimes the mistakes are terrible, but if your partner, and you know in your heart of heart, loves you, and you love them, then you have to continue to work on your marriage. Marriage is number one. Biggest advice, don't let your children be number one.
Yeah.
Make sure you have date nights on Friday or Saturday night. Get a babysitter for one of those, and have date nights, and I'll tell you what, your marriage will survive.
Yeah. I love that too. My mom says that all the time, that's the problem with a lot of marriages now is they put their kids on a pedestal.
There's so many that do.
And it's like,
and the husband gets kicked out the back door, but not so you see it, but it's real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I see it with so many. Yeah.
And my parents almost think that, which maybe not, but my mom says maybe a part of the reason why my parents were not that way is because they had me so young too. So selfishly, they would like put us to bed at 7 and so that they could have time together too.
Thank God.
Yeah. And that's what you should do.
That is, I mean, Steve was the one who said, we're going, I mean, I had Josh and he, it was like 4 days and he was brought home and he says, we're going out to the movies. I go, I can't go out to the movies. I got to watch him. And he just, I mean, being a doctor was super for me because I counted so much on what he had to say. It wasn't like my father and mother who were bright. It was in the medical field.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I really made it with that.
Yeah, you did, yeah, for sure.
I did.
All right, so Steve, this might be a sad abortion, but he was sick for a while.
Yeah, 9 years, nine and a half years.
And can you talk a little bit about
easily.
What he had?
He had multiple myeloma, and then it turns out he also had Parkinson's. 9 and a half years, he died when I was 72, and for 9 and a half years, it was the long goodbye. Mm-hmm. And a long goodbye prepares you for when he does die. If you love him, you just want to be there. Everybody should be married to my husband if their husband is dying because he was always upbeat. We married our glasses half full, the two of us. Maybe that's advice I can give you.
Yeah.
Don't ever marry someone whose glass is not half full. That's the number one key, and that was with our marriage. Mm-hmm. We weren't identical personalities, but his cup was half full. He was appreciative of everything. My cup is half full. And so when he died, I just wanted our 50th, and he turned 80, and the boys rallied. The saddest thing in my life is seeing the boys missing their leader.
Yeah.
You'll see that Luke, mm-hmm. the leader of the pack, and now mom's the matriarch, and it is taking the boys, most of the boys, you know, some transition, and now I think they're ready, and they're cheering me on in my new move.
Mm-hmm.
And they understand the reason for selling house because they had them all come in a year later to take Steve's ashes. And they saw what was happening to mom. Even though mom was happy, I was just so tired of doing everything here.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they understood.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't understand when I announced I'm selling the house. There were so many, Jeremy in particular, huge tears. But I think Jer understood when he saw mom. All the boys understood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you see what you're going through, mm-hmm. that you'd have to understand. And I'm
here by myself.
Yeah.
And in
this house just makes you think of him. Like, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, and all the work. And look how big it is.
For one person, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. What would you say to someone going through kind of that long goodbye right now?
The long goodbye is, it's really hard. And a lot of times the kids don't understand because they're not here living with you. And when you say you have some struggles with this or that, they're thinking, why are you kind of talking about dad? Dad's fine. Dad's not fine. And so what I did is have daughter-in-laws, when I took off on these trips, once a year, 2 weeks, like I'm going this Saturday. So they could come in, whether it was the boys or the daughter-in-laws, they came in and they could relate to my sons or themselves, and they could say, oh my God, Steve keeps thinking, hey, Kathy's coming home and she's only left in a day. That is the thing that they finally understood. And I think that's the hardest thing for us as caregivers. Our kids are saying, why are you being so crabby at him? Why aren't you doing this? Well, the fact is we have done so much. Mm-hmm. And you have to bring the kids in to help with this to understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard.
It is.
Yeah, and it's, yeah. Because when you aren't living with it day to day.
No, I got to tell you, nothing is easy.
Yeah.
Because we're also seeing our lives, but we are in it for the long haul. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing our lives and us get older.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they pass, we're older.
Mm-hmm.
And we wonder what our life's going to be.
Yeah. So starting over.
Yeah.
It's new. Yeah. What gave you the strength to remain hopeful and positive? And I know that's just how your personality is, though, too.
I think I was born that way. I hate to say it in a way because it sounds like I'm braggish, but I think I was born with my cup half full. But I have huge faith, and Dad gave us the Catholicism. Mom converted, and we went to church every Sunday, and it was nothing Mom and Dad drilled in us. It was that I believe that with God, you can do anything. Mm-hmm. And when you are in your worst problems, and I use this, trust me, when you have, whether it's your kids or whatever, you just pray. Whether it's selling the house, you pray. Mm-hmm. And St. Joseph and God, they just come through like you just couldn't imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really don't know how people do it without faith.
I don't either.
Like life at all.
Oh, I don't either.
Like when all this bad stuff is going on, how are you not? No wonder there's so much depression and anxiety and all of it. Because it's I don't know.
We can't do it.
No. So you have four boys.
Yeah.
Can you name them?
Yeah. Josh, Jeremy, Jeff, Jake.
Yep.
Jet.
And so how old were you when you had your first son?
24. Got married 22. Had Josh 24. Had Jeremy 26. Had Jake 28. And then I could not get pregnant. And it was a physiological, so they put dye down. Steve thought I was done. But then 5 years later, I said, ooh, I'm pregnant. And I was real happy because I love being pregnant. And then Steve was at an age where we went to Father Grady because he wanted a vasectomy because he said, I don't want to be an older father after Jake, because I would have gone on because having kids was easy. I would have had more.
So you liked being pregnant.
Oh, yeah, I would have had more. Did I like being pregnant? Not really. But did I care? No. But did I love the kids? Heck yeah. After one, everything was easy. I could have had eight.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Because one is horrendous.
Really?
It changes your life.
Yeah, that's
And you
true.
Don't know it until you have it. Because I'm so strong. I was so ready. Oh, I went into that postpartum depression.
Oh, really?
For 6 weeks because they put pit in my mouth and that changed every dynamic. It's Pitocin. And it just put me in right away. And I knew it. All of a sudden, I was just different.
Oh, man.
So I'm happy.
How did you get out of that?
Well, I cried a lot, but I said, Steve, how am I going to get out of it? And it got out of my body, but it was a blessing because I know what real depression is.
Mm-hmm.
And I can empathize with
people. You can relate to people.
Yeah. So it was the worst thing, but I can empathize.
Yeah, you got through it.
Yeah.
So four boys, that's a lot.
It was great. It wasn't
It's so
a lot.
Fun. Okay, fun. Well, I love that. That just shows your personality, too.
It was great.
What funny stories do you have when they were little? Probably a ton.
Oh. Little ones, oh my God, just the mimicking dad shaving. I've got a picture of Jake watching dad put the little the little shaving cream on him. Jeff came, he did something wrong. We always said, go get a spoon. It was a wooden spoon. Mm-hmm. He came back with a wooden spoon, but he had magazines down his little pants, and he was so young. We just cracked up. Just cracked up. That was Jeff. Those are funny stories that stick. Boys taking off on my four-wheeler and, oh, God, wrecking it and just stories.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Yeah. So fun. And what did you stress the most to your boys when they were growing up? Like, what lesson, I guess, did you try to instill in them?
Just to always realize your privilege. And kids in particular, like at Royerton, we came from St. Mary's. Josh would tell me that this guy was crying and they were making fun of him because he had rusty underwear in gym. And I said, you know what you need to do every time? You need to go right there and you need to be that friend. And I think the kids learned that. They had multiple, all kinds of friends from different homes that they told me later about those homes. Mom, you wouldn't believe it, but my boys were friends of those. Aww. Yeah.
That's a good thing to instill.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of kids nowadays need that and still do.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, Dad and Mom did teach us, like, they were friends of the trash man, the black trash man, and Dad's mom had a maid that was black, and the color of your skin never mattered. It was how they were as people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's people.
Yeah, yeah. They're just people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And any advice on motherhood?
Oh, God, it was the greatest thing. I don't know about my vice, but I loved every minute of it. I loved being the mother. I watched my mother. She was the greatest person in my life, best friend in my life, and she is my example. Mm-hmm. I've done things like working at the gift shop. She was the buyer for the gift shop. I tried to mimic her. I played endless badminton games that were on her lighted court at home. And, God, she was a good athlete. They didn't call her a tomboy, probably.
Yeah.
Cool.
What's the most rewarding part about being a parent?
There's nothing better than your children. There's no more greater hurt when they screw up or when they're suffering. But it's the gift of being a mother is just the greatest blessing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Looking back, what do you wish you knew about raising kids while you were in it, like while they were little? Like if you could tell your young self something.
Man, it's a hard one. I'd probably say in the younger years, my Catholicism was really important, and I'm really happy I gave them that foundation. They didn't have to stay with it, because then we let them go to public school system, but we gave them a foundation of God who is greater than their parents. Mm-hmm. Maybe that was the best.
No, that's good.
My dad gave us that. Mm-hmm. He said the rosary every night, and I would wake up, and then we had a dorm room, the four girls, and he would be at one of the beds saying the rosary when I would wake up. Oh. He never talked about it.
I love that, though. Yeah, I love that you would see him do.
And I wasn't just the one. As we got older, I said, do you remember Daddy? He'd be saying the rosary, kneeling down at Angie's bed or Valerie's bed. And then he would...
It was just an unspoken thing.
Oh, never said it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But by example, you saw.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then how many grandkids do you have?
Six.
Six?
Yeah.
And what do they call you?
Grammy, except for the oldest, who is Jeremy's by marriage. And I think she was a little old when I said, you can call me Grammy. and you know, she was, you know. Anyway, they call me Grammy, and I love when they call me Grammy.
It's a cute name.
I love it. I chose that name because Arlene Rothar was Grammy. I called my own Grams or Grams or my grandma, but it's neat to be called Grammy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. And what's the best thing about being Grammy?
Oh, God, the children. Oh, my gosh, there's nothing like it. And if you're ever blessed to have your own family and children and become a grandma, you don't have the responsibility, but they worship you, and you can spoil them. And, and you can teach them. Mm-hmm. That's the neatest thing. Mom's so busy doing stuff and being mom and dad. You come in, you sweep it. You just swoop in and you bring presents and gifts, and you take them to, like, cake bake, uh-huh. and you make them feel so special.
Yeah, you're the best thing ever.
Well, they think I am. Yeah. And they think, nobody has the greatest Grammy. My grandma, she rode her bike to Niagara Falls and back.
Yeah.
And you can't compare. I hear that from Kate the Great.
Hold on. You rode your bike from Niagara Falls and back?
Well, from here to Niagara Falls on the Canadian side and back down through, in like, 13 days.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I do it every year. We have trips that we plan and they're self-contained, and it's Brucey, Chrissy, and Kathy. Okay. And we've all been clubs of Delaware Cycling Club since we were young. And then when our husbands died, Chrissy's husband died, and he said, if you ever want to ride across America, get Bruce Kine. And then my husband was sick, and so we got a hold of Bruce Kine and said, Bruce, we want to ride across America, but Kathy can't go do that because Steve's sick, but we can take off two weeks. And he had ridden to Alaska and back. I mean, he had done everything. He had ridden across America twice.
Oh my God.
Straight. And so we got him, and he is like our brother, and we are a team, and we've done this for like 13 years, and each of us gets a pick, and this year we're kind of going back to D.C.
Ooh, nice.
Because I think he had gotten... He has a cancer, but it's under control.
That's good.
That we didn't know. And anyway, so yeah. And Chrissy got an electric bike so she can stay up with us, and she leads us.
Oh,
so
my
it's
gosh.
Good.
So you've been doing it for 13 years, you said? Oh my gosh.
Those trips.
Yeah. And what's your favorite of those trips?
We loved Mackinac Island. We loved that one because that was our first and back, but it was the hardest. Oh my God.
Really?
We did 100 miles a day. To get there and back, 100 miles a day, 150 we started, and then 132. We about killed ourselves, so we've kind of changed it so it's like 80 or 90 a day. And anyway, we loved every trip. Probably the Niagara on the Canadian side was our favorite. We went back and went the American side, but probably Canadian.
The American side isn't as cool.
No!
I've only been to the American side. But I've seen photos of the Canadian side.
It's so cool.
And everyone says the Canadian side is
way
better.
It's unbelievable. And then we just rode across Canada and down through Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
And you take a ferry that gets you back, and then you come all the way back to Muncie.
Yeah. Okay. That's amazing. I didn't realize you did that. I know you go on trips, but I didn't know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We average now about 900 miles in 13 days.
What's recovery like for that?
Oh, no, we just recover every day. You know what recovery is? You go and you get a great restaurant, you got a nice hotel, and you drink two beers.
There you go.
She drinks wine, Brucey and I drink two beers, and life is good.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yep.
I love it.
That's recovery.
So, what about some other vacations? Like, where's your favorite place that you've ever traveled to?
Oh, gosh, I've traveled with Delia and Chuck, Steve and I as a couple. We've gone everywhere. I've traveled with my sister overseas. Provence, we loved it. I'm going to Sardinia with the English group. They allowed me to become a Muppet. That's their name. It's a bike group that I met the two people in Marco. I belong to a bike club there, so they invited me, and they never invite people that are Americans. But anyway, I'm flying there to England, meeting my girlfriend's mother who lives in England, and then we are taking a bus with these new Muppets. Now, I'm new, they're old, and we've got shirts, jerseys, you'll see it, and it's the Muppet jersey.
When do you leave for this?
September 16th, I believe that's the date, or 17th, and I come home the 29th or something
that's
like that.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, because I'm going on a trip this Saturday, and I think it's working with the sale of my house, and then I'll have time to actually move into my real house, and then I'll go on this trip, and I cannot wait to be a Muppet.
Yeah, that's going to be
Sardinia.
Amazing. Sardinia.
Sardinia. My brother, Philip, he had his honeymoon there.
Oh, really?
It's the coolest thing. We have this hotel where we go from and back, and they do your laundry and all that stuff. It's awesome.
That sounds amazing.
It's way cool.
Oh, wow. So, but would you say the coolest place you visited?
On a bike
or just in my life?
Just
in general, in your life.
I know, it's hard to say because I loved them all.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved them all. Every one of them I loved.
Yeah, list off some of the places.
Barcelona.
You name it.
I mean, different parts of Italy. Mm-hmm. We've been to Australia with Jeff's people, and Steve went with Jeremy, with the football team.
Uh-huh.
If you name it, we've been there probably. We visited so many places. That's why
it's hard to pick.
We loved everything.
Well, because every culture and everything is so cool.
It is.
To me.
It is. The Italy, the food is fabulous. Mm-hmm. Scotland was wonderful to go back to see where Mom was raised. And I love York in England. Oh, my God, these little streets. Going with my mother was incredible, and seeing where she grew up, and I've been there twice, and it probably I would say that was my favorite, because I would hear about Mom's little growing up days and stuff.
You know? That's special.
Yeah. It was incredible.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about this house. When was it built?
It was built in 1975 by Bill Irving and his wife Sandy, and they had four children. Four boys.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Okay.
4 years later, they got a divorce.
Oh.
The Irving owns that restaurant in downtown.
The new one, Adam Street?
But it wasn't Adam Street. The one Irving boy owned it before it was called Adam Street.
I don't know what it was called before
that. Okay. But it was.
Okay. Interesting.
Anyway, so Sandy has come back here and seen this, but we have added on so much. They had a shallow pool. They had the pool table. That's theirs. They never had a dome. They never had the back end. They never had the porch. We put a 10-foot deep pool in there. We added the fence. They had the pole barn. We added three more garages. I could continue on.
Yeah.
But we added a pond. We dug the pond.
Okay.
And had it stocked with a fish. But the property itself, the 10 acres, they had. And the Sandy, when she got the divorce, it wasn't all mowed like a park, because she just couldn't do it. And so we had a bush hog come in and mow it. And really, we've done so much.
Yeah. So when did you add it back here? When did you move in then?
In 79.
Okay.
Yeah, because Jeff was born, and it was our anniversary. He was born in May, but we came on our anniversary here August 4th.
Oh, okay.
So that's how I know it.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
His birthday.
So many memories in this house.
Incredible memories. The boys, no wonder. And then their children being here in the house that they grew up, mm-hmm. the basketball court and all that stuff, that's why they were so devastated. After their dad dies, then Mom comes up a year later and says, boys, I'm going to sell the house. There were so many tears.
Yeah.
And I didn't expect that. But then now, no, they're all cheering Mom on.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's they're what's best cheering. For this, yeah. this phase. And I mean, it's still here. The memories are what stick with you anyway.
Right,
like, that's
right.
what
Oh, gosh. And Jeremy bought a time capsule, which I have. Oh. And I've got to get that done so we can. And I said, where are you going to put it so that we could find, you guys could find it. I'll be under the daisies.
Oh, stop.
And so, well, anyway, we're going to put pictures and stuff in
it
for
the
time
capsule. Oh, that's going to be so cool.
That was Jeremy, because he just cries when he thinks about it even now, even though he knows it's good.
That is sad.
And Jeff, too.
I'm a really sentimental person, too. And I remember moving out of our other house in our neighborhood, and I was so sad.
Oh, my gosh.
Just because I was in sixth grade.
That was a big deal.
Yeah.
Me, too. I remember moving out of our English tutor into this place that had a pool. I never liked it.
You didn't ever.
Well, I was in college.
Oh,
so,
at that
you know,
point,
Philip
yeah.
remembers it, and he loves it, the youngest.
Yeah, but it's different. What about Marco? When did you guys get the place there?
Oh, that's real funny. When I was dating Steve, his father and he, the Mackle brothers, who kind of surveyed the Marco Island. It was just a mud, you know, and so they were building it. They were excavating and stuff, and so they would fly you in. Steve had seen it and with his father, and so it was just, you know, figuring out. And so they saw this, they were going to build a condo, this whole group. And so Steve and his dad bought in. And so before I married him, I helped pick a color. It was Robin Stuckey who was decorating. And Steve goes, what color do you like? I'm like, oh, my God, I don't know. What did I know?
So you helped decorate.
I was a college girl.
Yeah.
All I did was say the color. And it was beautiful. And so it was 1973 when we were married. And that's when we've been going to and sharing with our family. And now we have three other sibs who have penthouses there and one that lives on the golf course. So it's a family thing in the winters.
So many memories there too.
Oh gosh, yeah. Yeah. It's the best. And boys love it.
Oh yeah. And how, like, when do you stay there throughout the year?
November to usually May, or I've got it now, I've got to rent it because our HOAs are, not that I have to, I love these people. And I'm coming home April 3rd. And when I do rent in February to these wonderful, lovely people, we did our Thelma and Louise. Well, we're going off to Jeff's, to his father-in-law, who goes to Mexico to his girlfriend. So we've got his condo.
Oh, Helen, so you're
and
fine.
I, and his car in February. Another Thelma and Louise trip.
Oh my gosh, I love that too. Yeah, Marco, I've been there, what, twice maybe? Yeah. Yeah, but Maggie and her friends had so much fun staying at your place.
Well, that was neat because they just kind of got to be there.
I know. No, they loved it. They loved it.
That was neat.
All right, we're coming up to the end of end questions. You've done great. I mean,
thanks.
Yeah.
I'm just me.
No,
I
know.
I told my little brother and he says, well, Kathy, just be you. I said, well, I am.
You're fine. Always just you.
That's why I said I didn't want to know the questions.
No, I think that's good. Because then it's more authentic too.
It is.
I feel like sometimes if you have them beforehand, you overthink.
You do overthink.
And then it's not.
This is all real.
Well, it's all about, it's all about
it's
you.
Real,
So as you look back on your life, who are the people who have impacted or influenced you the most?
Obviously, my parents, 100%. My siblings, all different ages. My oldest brother, who allowed me to play sports with him when I was just this little kid. We did everything together. We were the best friends. And then my sisters, even the younger and the younger, my little brother, who I took under my, my wing, and now he is taking care of me as far as decisions. He's the one, my youngest brother, said, Kath, you need to move, just like Mom did, and let's get the, and I said, okay, I like the 55 and up. And he, those, my oldest, all of them, they just take care of every, it's funny, everybody takes care of everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have a favorite time period of your life?
Golly. I think I loved probably my 40s because we were having babysitters, and Steve and I and Delay and Chuck, we were going on these trips, vacations, and it was just so much fun. I actually loved about every... I loved when I started Endurathon, when I met with the group and we formed the Endurathon. And I could do this crazy stuff. That was a favorite. I just really loved the friends that we made. I can't pick a favorite. I kind of like it all.
Yeah.
I mean, I do. Even the good and the bad. There is some sadness that comes with it, you know, with mistakes and things like that with kids or whatever has happened. Life is that way. It's not easy. And the hardest thing that probably in my life ever is working on your marriage. Even though it's great, it's the hardest thing to keep going.
Yeah.
Don't take it for granted.
Yeah. Do you have any regrets?
I wish I was born later.
I
could have been playing with Caitlin Clark. Honestly, it would have been nice because it crushed me that time they called me a tomboy, and I thought that was a bad thing. So whenever anyone threw me a ball, I threw it with my left hand to look like a girl, eighth grade, ninth grade. That is so bad that I had to do it, but I was crushed. I didn't know how to say they were saying she's weird. They were saying I... tomboy, they were saying gay, I guess. And I will stand up for that to all the gay people, that it just was hurtful, so I can live your life a little bit. So it was a lesson that I can be so empathetic.
What advice would you give to the younger generations?
Work hard. Talk less. Actions are louder. Actions speak louder always than words. Let everybody else cheer for you. Keep your mouth shut and just do it. Keep your nose to the books. Study hard. Try to make a difference in the world. Always walk in a room and smile and be open to everybody. And they'll come to you.
I really like that.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
Mom taught me that.
Really?
Yeah, walk into a room and smile, Katie. Because you were all nervous at different places. Smile.
I love that your mom called you Katie, too.
Yeah. That's how Kate the Great started. And then little Kate, Jeff's is she's Kate the Great number two. She doesn't get the title of one, and I let her know it. She's really a good athlete, but I let her know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What is the key to staying positive? I know you already...
You're born with it, I think. I honestly think you're born with it, because I'm not that great. You're born with more endorphins. I believe it. You're born with the cup half full, but then you have to work at once you recognize it. That's it. You have to work at... Nobody's going to want to be around a Debbie Downer. If you lose your husband, they don't want to... They are devastated for you, but you know what? You'll get more people with the smile and the trying to move. Fake it till you make it. Mm-hmm. That's a good lesson. Fake it till you make it, because eventually you'll just be this happy person.
When eventually you will feel better.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
You do. Yeah. I would just won't go to bed and just hide. It's so rare. I don't think in my whole life I felt that sadness. Especially about the being called a tomboy. That's probably the biggest difference in my whole life. Mm-hmm. It crushed me.
Yeah.
Because I just thought I was cool.
Yeah. I'm a good athlete. That's good. Yeah. Should be celebrated.
Yeah.
What's the most important thing in life?
God. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The greater being, because without him... If you think you're smarter and you can handle it on your own, you can't. But if you just ask God, he will be there every time. And that door that's shut, that window will open every time. Mm-hmm. But you've got to be real. I say go to church, go to wherever you're going to go. You're given an hour a week. Go to some place every Sunday. And even if you don't want to, because there were many times I don't, you'll get blessed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Grab on to something.
And last question, how do you hope to be remembered?
Well, that's a funny one. I always say I'm different, and I think that I've always been different, and I hope that people that are different, they're recognized for their kindness, their laughter. They don't take themselves seriously. They want to involve everybody. I hope that I'm remembered for people wanting to be around me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would definitely say that's the case. There's your laughter.
I know.
All right.
Okay.
That was great.
Thanks,
you want to get your picture taken now?
Oh, sure.
Walk in a room and smile and be open to everybody and they'll come to you. That's Kathy Miller. Bright, warm, and a friend for life. When you're with her, you can't help but smile. She laughs with her whole heart, lives with her whole heart, and loves with her whole heart. Kathy reminds us that we should never, ever despair somebody because they're different, and that faith and grit carry us through. After 74 incredible years filled with love, family, adventures, and hard-earned wisdom, Kathy's voice rings with a confidence that says, "When I love ya, I don't not love ya, I just stick with ya." And that's exactly who she is, a friend who sticks with you for life. Thank you, Kathy, for filling the conversation with joy, wisdom, and laughter. This was episode 41 of Words of the Wise. Until next time, Soli Deo Gloria.
And so Josh just left, my son.
Yeah.
He was here with his dog. And anyway, I had to get the place ready. Then I went biking. I mean, he is tough little kid.
He's so
he
cute. Looks,
oh, my God. He's so funny.
From following those, Whitney on
those
Instagram,
girls
I see
love
it all.
Him.
Oh, my gosh.
I always made time for the dinners and had kids who was ever here.
Yeah, I feel like, well, my parents talk about hanging out here in high school.
Yeah, they did.
Like everyone did.
Oh, my
like,
God.
This was the house.
Billy
the Miller
lived.
House.
Yeah. He lived. You know, I'm kind of like, there are no pictures here.
Oh, that's okay.
But there's Steve and me, and there's me back when I was triathlon. And those are the only two pictures.
Hey, well, I still have pictures from when I did the one with Steve, too, because you're in some of those.
Okay.
So. You're fine. And I'll get pictures of you in your outfit, too. You look so, it's perfect. The hot pink. That's like, looks like a me outfit, honestly. I love it. All right. So are you ready whenever?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, you know, it is what it is. I am
you're gonna
who
do
I
great.
Am.
No, you're going to do great. It's going to be fun. I was like...